The choir sounds so good this morning. It makes us ready to hear the Spirit bring home the Word of God. So let's pray that He'll do just that. We thank You, our Father, for the joy of being Yours. We truly, as the Beloved in the Song of Solomon cry out, "I am my Beloved and He is mine." How can we keep from singing? How can we fear and worry? How can we live with forebodingness? How can we not dance even when we have a devil on our back? We pray that Your Word would uphold us and Your Spirit would enable us to have thoughts and meditations that are acceptable and words from my lips that will be helpful and minimal. We ask all these things in Your holy name. Amen. We're looking at the second half of the sermon that we began last week, and it's over this whole thought in Luke 12, and yay, through the whole Bible, between what is a foolish approach to take in life and what is a wise approach. And it's very simply stated, a fool is one who acts as if there is no God. The wise is the one who rests confidently in knowing that that is our hope. That is our strength. We started, and I'll remind you to bring us into context, I used sort of as a way to begin the sermon last week that comical skit that Jack Benny used to do, the one who was known so much for being very frugal, tight, and a thief comes up to him on the street and says, "Your money or your life?" He says, "Can I have a few minutes to ponder that?" Jesus would tell us that a fool would be one who would lose his life in the attempt to save his life, lose his soul. And we began last week by looking at Jesus' definition that a fool, defined in Matthew 7, is someone who doesn't recognize value. A pig is a fool. You can throw pearls before a wise person and they'll assess the value. You throw pearls in front of swine, they will trample them underfoot and then turn and attack you. So we looked, the first thing last week is that a fool didn't value God above all. A fool didn't value others above their self. And a fool doesn't value the spiritual above the material. Now I want to look at the last two. And that is, the fool doesn't value joy over increase. See, this fool that we looked at last week, we continued looking in what Jen read today, is living in the anxiety of bored. Of wondering, when can I relax? When have I earned enough, achieved enough, strategized enough, analyzed enough that I can relax and let God now sort of run it since I've established it? It's thinking that we have to help God out. God has said He'll provide for us. He provides for the birds. He provides for the flowers. But we might want to help God out, so we need to build bigger barns. I know He's always been able to help people out up until now, but what if God hits a tough spot? What if another stock market fall comes? Won't those big barns be good? What if I get a physical prognosis from my doctor? I want to share a thought with you with this God that we walk. Here's what a fool doesn't believe. But the Holy Spirit enables us to be wise and to see what we couldn't on our own. Do you know that there's never been a moment throughout all of created history where God ever said, "Man, I didn't see that coming"? God has never thought, "Oh my, what do I need to do next? You've changed your mind. You've had to adjust strategies. And if I ask you at any particular point why you adjusted your strategy or changed your mind, you will say in one way or the other, even if you won't articulate it, you learned something you didn't know. Well, see, what if you knew it all? What if you, from the beginning, had a complete understanding? Then wouldn't the ones who are your children be able to just have joy and not have to help God out in running the world? Jesus tells us in Psalm 23 that we have a shepherd who provides for us in the midst of our enemies, gives us oil for the anointing of our head. I was reading a commentator a couple weeks ago, and he said that we have produced more what he called M&M Americans over the last 15 years than we've ever produced before. Do you know what M&M Americans are? Well, some of you are thinking they're what you love to eat, maybe of snacking up, sneaking into church, M&M candy. But M&M, he said, are miserable millionaires. This sociologist has said that we have reached a point where it's not out of the realm of the average person to be a millionaire if they invest properly. It's no longer just the Gettys and the Rockefellers and these others that we can hope. But what he went on to say is while we've produced more people that have earned more wealth than they ever thought possible, we've sunk to the place where we're 37th in the world's nations on the happiness level. We have miserable millionaires. The old Scot, Robert Burns, knew this, and one of my favorite poems of his, probably because it's my namesake, though in the original it's Tam O'Shanter, or in the more modern it's Tom. And it has this part about Tom. And it says, "But pleasures are like poppy spread. You seize the flower, its bloom is shed. Or like the snow fall on the river, a moment white, then melts forever. Or like the aurora borealis rays that move before you can point to their place. Or like the rainbow's lovely form, vanishing amid the storm. No man can tether time or tide. The hour approaches, Tom was right. The hour of night's black arch, the keystone, the dreary hour he mounts his beast in, and such a night he takes to the road in, as never a poor sinner had been out in." The fool understands that while we can't predict what will happen, I can promise you this. Whatever happens, we can have joy, not based on the fact that we were smart enough to set aside. Now, of course, we do need to do due diligence, and I'm not saying, you know, that's another sermon. But I'm talking about those who put their stock, put their hope, not in the fact that they walk with the Master and that we are His children, but that my barns are bigger and getting bigger every day. For like the wisest man that ever lived said, money, riches, health can sort of sprout wings and fly away. And I put my joy in that. My joy is tenuous at best. But if I put my joy in the one who's eternal, I'm no longer a fool, but wise. And then the final thing is a fool doesn't value life, he values security. James would tell us, don't tell me, don't brag about what you're going to do tomorrow. Now, I'm going to say something that's a little controversial. Not really controversial, it's just I'm probably the only person in America that didn't fall into, I don't use it in my terminology, I don't even think it's a very helpful thing. If you've got one, that's fine. But have you heard this bucket list mentality from that movie about don't even know what the movie was called. Was it called The Bucket List?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not going to ask how many of you have a bucket list. But let me tell you something. Don't make your joy contingent on your bucket list. You may be able to do those things. One day you may be able to jump out of a plane. One day you may be able to go to Ireland. One day you may be able to be President of the United States. I don't know what's on your bucket list, but I can tell you this, if your joy and your ability to love life is tied to your doing one of those things, it's tenuous at best. For James says, don't even say what you're going to do tomorrow. For your life is a vapor. A wise person would say, if the Lord wills. So what if you don't get to jump out of a plane? I think that's a better bucket list item anyway, to stay in the safety of the plane. But what if you don't get to jump out of the plane? You've not lived. What if you don't have that robust health that you wanted after retirement? What if you don't get some iron? What if you don't become president? What if you just live day in and day out the ordinary life of a child of God? See, Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and that more abundantly, not based on what we do, not based on how secure we're able to make everything, but based on the fact He loves you. He loves you. He walks with you. We're content with whatever. See, true wealth is grateful appreciation that we are children of God. See, our security is not in achieving more. Our security is knowing that Jesus is enough. One of my favorite quotes, I say it quite often, is that by the missionary Jim Elliot. When he said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. I guarantee you this. You can put on your bucket list that you are a holy child of the eternal God. And you'll have that for all eternity. In fact, as Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, we have that now, don't we? We're walking in eternal life now, so how can we not sing? Let me close by using two words. Paul uses both of those. Because the problem with putting our security, our joy, in our big barns and not in the God who takes care of the birds is we begin to boast in the wrong things. Paul loved the word boast. The word boast is used more than 40 times in the New Testament. And all but two of them Paul used. And if you take, which I don't think he did, but the other two are in Hebrews, so if you take the old view that Paul wrote Hebrews, you can sort of say Paul used all the words for boast. What do you boast about? What brings you joy? What do you want to pull out of your wallet and show people? Your grandkids? A new boat? A promotion, good health, big barns. What do you boast in? Let me go through a list very quickly. Not all 40. But let me highlight some of the things Paul said he boasted in. He boasts in the grace in which we stand. He boasts in our sufferings. He boasts in the Lord. He boasts about the people in the church that were giving him offense. He boasts about the labors that others were doing. Many times he boasts in his weakness. Man, I'm so proud that I'm so puny. Man, I love the fact that I hardly have a barn at all. He boasts in his weaknesses over and over. He boasts in Christ Jesus. But the center of all of it, that wonderful statement in Galatians 6:14, he says, if I'm going to boast in anything, I'm going to boast in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. For he knew in the wisdom that only the Holy Spirit can give that all was well. Because through the work of Christ Jesus on the cross, He is mine, and I am His for all eternity. Therefore, we can rejoice. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You can find it on page 881. Let us stand and confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of time and eternity, we give you thanks and praise that you weave the fabric of your purpose through the warp of our faith and the weft of our faithfulness. You meet us as you met Isaac and Jacob in the tents of our transience. And prepare us as you prepared Abraham for the city of your joy. You make ourselves strangers and foreigners to you, but you greet us in your Son. In his death and resurrection, you bring us home to be the people of your possession. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Loving God, you call us your treasure. And you tell us that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. In Jesus, you lodge your heart among us. And in sharing of your holy meal, you place that heart at the heart of our lives. Now send down your Holy Spirit, that we may become holy as you are holy. That these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Revealing God, as we perceive your Son in the power of your Spirit to be present in this bread and in this wine, open our eyes to see your presence in the places and people wherein you make known your glory, so that when you come again on the last day, we shall recognize you by the company you keep, and you shall recognize us by the company we keep. Just as you have shown us that your heart is always with us, wherever our hearts stray, so now draw our hearts always to be where your heart is, as you have made us your treasure on earth. Transform us and your whole creation into your treasure in heaven, until the day when all hearts are drawn to you in the harmony of your praise, ever one God, our Savior, and our friend.
Amen. the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, in the Scripture, the eating of meal and the joining of presents were always combined. We used to use that in our culture before we became so individualistic. We'd say, you know, I've had so-and-so over to my house to have a meal. I've gone to their house to have a meal. In our takeout society of eating, we've failed to understand the presence of being at table. See, Jesus hasn't promised to give us directions, a plan to follow, but rather He's given us His presence through the person of the Holy Spirit. And He's promised that wherever the path leads us, or maybe like Abraham and Sarah, we take off not knowing where we're going. We don't need to know. Our joy and our peace is not based on our understanding of the details, but rather clings to the promise that where you are, there I will be. And I'll prepare a table for you, wherever you are, even in the presence of your enemies, on top of the mountain, in the depths of the valley. I will meet you and guide you and direct you. So relax. Believe. Enter my rest and take me at your word. So now, because this is the Lord's table, we extend these gifts to all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth. We practice here by intention. We will give you part of the bread. You'll dip it into the chalice. Then make your way for prayer at one of these kneeling benches. Katie will be at the corner over here if you need someone to join you in prayer. Maybe just someone to be with you or for someone else. She'll be there. This is the gift of the Lord, given for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God Almighty.